Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Good evening, Mr. Mr. North and South America, and all the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to France, Flash, London.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, there is no business like show business, and that's all radio is. At the end of the day, yes, we can elect presidents, but at the end of the day, it's only show business. Welcome to the program. My mind is only on tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day that the Radio Hall of Fame, the National Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago, bestows awards upon those in radio. And as you know, because of your listenership, your support, your votes, I won the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, which is a big deal to me. It's a Lifetime Achievement Award. It's the equivalent of the radio. It's the highest award you can get in radio, right? So I'm doing a pre-show today, but it's going to be tied to a much bigger picture. I'm going to ask you some questions, which is this. I know many of you are listening, listen to radio. You're listening to this show, so you're listening to radio, right? Okay. Do you listen to any other radio? And I'm not here to talk about other hosts. I mean radio in general. Do you listen to radio? And that ties to the bigger question. Do you think radio has a future? Can radio survive in the age of everything else? Today, many people listen to radio, not only on radio stations, which are still king, but also through streaming, the streaming through radio stations and other sources. Do you think there'll be an actual radio in the future? A radio? No, it's all iPhones or something else. Will there still be radio stations in the future? Do you still listen to anything other than talk radio? Or are you strictly a talk radio listener? Now, I grew up on radio. I'm one of the few people lucky enough to have been... I actually grew up before television. I know it sounds like forever ago, but it wasn't. It was just yesterday for me. And I grew up on my father's... Well, listening to radio with my father. I remember him smoking Philip Morris, listening to the Green Hornet, other shows. And I would listen to the show with him. I was a little kid. And I'd lay down. I'd lay on his lap, and he'd be smoking a cigarette. Oh, that secondhand smoke was delicious. I loved it. And if secondhand smoke could kill you, how come I'm still living? But moving past the point of the story of health, I want to talk about the health of the nation and where we are today. I don't want to do too many politics. If I'm going to sit here like all of the other Schmendricks, Trump's going to appoint this one, Trump's going to appoint that one, don't appoint this one, don't appoint that one. I heard he's going to appoint that one, but he didn't appoint this one. Don't. Come on, didn't we have enough of that? Didn't I tell you that after the election... I would stop it. Is that what you want for the next 4 years, the same that you had with Obama? Every day criticizing this one or that one, or bashing liberals? Hey, I can do it. I can do it. Believe me, I can do it. But not today, if you don't mind. Maybe not tomorrow, if you don't mind. Maybe not Friday, if you don't mind. Maybe not for the rest of the year, if you don't mind. So, I'm going to ask you again. What are your greatest memories of radio? Forget my show per se. Well, you can include my show. What are your greatest Savage Radio story memories or radio show memories? Now, I got to tell you, in my mind, yesterday's show about Heartbreak Ridge and the effect it had on me, and then I had people calling, I would rank it as one of my top shows. I know the emotional element was there. I know it touched people. And if radio can touch you, if it can move you, it's doing its job. When I look back on radio, and I listen sometimes to archive radio shows of the past, how it really was, in the great days, Walter Winchell, I'm trying to think of some of the other shows, Orson Welles did radio, what a great voice he had. I think about even the advertisements that were done, they were artful, and they were creative, and that they were done by the host of the show as an integral part of the show, because without the sponsors, there was no radio. Many of you say, oh, why do you have to listen to those ads? There's too many ads, too many ads. Well, it's not NPR. There shouldn't be any NPR. One of the things I'm going to recommend to Donald Trump is that he defunds NPR. Let them go get a real job. Let them compete in the real world, in the marketplace. Why are they funding NPR? Why do I have to compete with people who have no competition with regard to time and listening? and they're all left-wing fanatics who hate the country anyway. All they love are immigrants and you-know-who. So I don't want to do too much politics here, but what I'm saying is I remember the greats. I remember those great days. And the radio announcer or the radio guy who was doing the news would tell you about a watch as though he were wearing the watch, and he was probably wearing the watch. I recall going into Radio City Music Hall with my mother, God rest her soul. I don't know the year. Who remembers? I wasn't a baby. This already was in the early 50s. And we went on the buses, the subways. Dad was always working. Mom stayed home. So she took me and my friend to the city. It was a big day. And we went to see how radio works behind the scenes. And we went up the, you know, when you're poor and you're living in New York and you go to New York, it's like already you were intimidated. You weren't dressed like the other people were dressed. You felt like a ragamuffin who was an imposter in Manhattan. You had some delusion that everybody was like Father Knows Best. Anyway, we'd get into the building, and it was intimidating to go into Radio City Music Hall because all that marble and you could hear your feet on the elevator all the way up. Even the elevator operator scared me. I was a little kid. The elevator operator looked like a general in the military to me. I was afraid to say the wrong word. I thought the elevator operator could have me executed. So we go into the radio studio, and two memories, just two quick memories. He said, "This is how we make thunder." And he had this big sheet of metal. And we're sitting captivated in that little room, the sound auditorium of the RCA building. And he strikes it with some kind of device, and it sounded just like thunder. I was awestruck. Because when you hear thunder and you're a child listening to radio, you think it's thunder. And then he said, "I want you to listen to this." And he had two horses' hooves, or devices that looked like hooves. And he clackety-clacked them on top of a box that sent out the echo of a horse's hoof. I was awestruck because I love Gene Autry. I love Roy Rogers. And I was so disappointed to think that they didn't really ride horses on the somewhere out there. There's all fake sounds. But it didn't strike me as fake, though. I didn't come away cynical as a child, say, "Oh, darn it. They're not really riding a horse." I was infatuated by radio ever since. It's been a love affair of mine forever. And, of course, you know, there's so many other stories. How I got into radio is another story for another day. And I could tell that story today, actually. I may do that. Because how I got into radio is actually circuitous and not direct. It was not a career I trained for. I never went to a broadcasting school. And I never studied to do radio. I remember doing book tours for my writings. My first commercial book was Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, published in 1972 by Macmillan, about American Indian remedies and foods. And in those days, the publishers would send you on what was called a 10-city tour or a 15-city tour. Or if it was a big author, a 20-city tour. They were just the most grueling things in the world. But if you're poor and young and you dreamed of being a writer all your life and you have a book that's a success, and the publisher is willing to pay money to send you out on the road and pay for your hotel bill and everything else, you go. So I would do the tours, visiting different stations, and I remember to this day where it was. I remember going through L.A. on KABC. There was a guy who was a giant on KABC. He's long gone. And the studio was so large, it was as large as my house. Well, he's out of radio. And then you go up the coast, and we go up to Seattle. And when you walk down the hall of I don't know what station it was in Seattle. It was a huge station. They had pictures of the radio stars of their station on the wall as you walk down the hall. It was a big deal. There was the morning guy, the afternoon guy, big blow-ups of them. And you knew you were in the presence of giants. Even though they were only local hosts, they were all giants in their community. And I remember sitting down, Cairo, I think, K-I-R-O radio, if I remember correct. I remember the hotel I stayed in. And the host had a great voice. I don't remember the gentleman's name. And he said to me during the break, he said, "You have a great delivery and a great voice. You really should consider a career in radio." I said, "God, how am I going to go into radio?" I mean, that was like saying to me, "You like flying? Why don't you become an astronaut?" I didn't know how to get into radio. And I left it at that. It was back in 71, 72. Well, years later, 1981, 82, 83, I don't know what year, I wrote a book entitled Maximum Immunity. Houghton Mifflin, Boston, great publisher. So had a wonderful editor, distinguished lady, took me to lunch in one of the great Boston seafood houses. We talked, and she said, "You know, your mind is too quick. She said, you need something like radio. I said, why do you say that? She said, because you like immediate and instant feedback. Again, I said, that's a great idea. I don't know how to get into radio. Well, I'll speed the clock forward. I'm just telling you stories today. I'll give you news later. There's not really that much news. Well, what's the news? Trump did this. Trump burped that. Trump was seen eating a steak. The media's mad. Rand Paul is kvetching that Trump supporting appointing a flamethrower. It's unbelievable to me where Rand Paul's coming from. I don't get it. He goes on Wolf Blitzer, the enemy of the truth, and he complains about Donald Trump. Come on, Rand. You're not doing yourself a favor there, buddy. That's the news that I want to do for the day. But I got to go back to you, the listener. Okay? Why did you vote for me? There were other people competing. And what are your greatest Savage memories? I'm broadening it now. What shows do you remember? What stick in your mind when you think of Michael Savage? Do you still listen to any radio other than talk radio? Many of you listen to talk radio from morning till night, myself included. Is there anything else on radio that you listen to? Do you listen to the news? Do you turn to the radio for news? I don't know if you do. It's so antiquated and so left-wing, I don't know why anyone would listen to radio for news anymore. I don't. Here in San Francisco, if I'm in a car, why would I want to turn on a news station? What am I going to get from them? Some PC garbage? Trump bad, immigrants wonderful, white people are evil, America's horrible? Are you kidding me? That's all you get from these people. They're psychos. I don't listen to the news. I go to the internet for my news. I think radio is a great place to go for conversation. I don't go to radio for news myself. Why do you listen to radio? I've got the callers. Don't think I'm groping here. Oh, God, here's one I don't know if I can take. I better take it right now. Jeremy on KCMO in Kansas City, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage. Just a Savage radio memory that sticks in my mind was the evening that Mama Savage passed away, and you were just playing the most beautiful, I think it was Italian opera music, and just listening to that, it felt like I was right there in the studio with you, and you know, God bless you for coming in and doing the show. I know it had to be a difficult evening for you especially, but really kind of, you know, telling the stories about your mother, you know, being in the kitchen, running around, you know, as mothers do, and never sitting down, always wanting to, you know, take the men and the family and everything. It really connected. It was just...
No, I don't remember that, Jeremy, but you're bringing back a very, very difficult time. I think what I'm going to do because of this call, Jeremy, is ask the guys to go back to that day, and I'll look it up, that my mother went to heaven, and I'm going to see what show I did when I came back to the radio. I want to see what maybe we'll play that tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be the induction ceremony in Chicago, and for reasons I cannot describe, I will not be there. I'm making that announcement right now. I'm just the way it is. They know it. They found out. Instead, I sent a videotape that I did, a five-minute videotape, that I will be playing for you on the show, but I'm going to be here in San Francisco, again, for personal reasons, which I care not to discuss. It's a great honor, and in no way is it a statement on my part about the honor. It's a super honor, which is a Lifetime Achievement Award, but I'm going to be live in San Francisco at KSFO Studios, perhaps. I'm going to try to do a very special program for you tomorrow. Jeremy, I'm going to send you a copy of... I think I'll send you whatever you want. Do you want Teddy and Me, or do you want Scorched Earth?
Teddy and Me for the holidays sounds perfect, Dr. Savage. I certainly...
Stay on the line. It's beautiful. No, Teddy's right here. He didn't get his walk today because my assistant is doing something else. So I didn't get my bicycle ride, and Teddy didn't get his walk. Boo-hoo. I think I can live without it. My friends, this is a day. This is a day that I have to do this show. I could not focus on anything else. There is no way for me to sit down and just look at the news and come up with some potboiler about how bad the world is again and start screaming about liberals all day long and then to sell you a wig. What am I going to say? America great, dollar hits high. Good, go to the Drudge Report. You can get all the news you want in about 3 seconds. It's all important, but it's there. We have to be different than websites. Don't you understand that this is conversational? I'm going to tell you something. Oh, I don't have time already. I'm out of time already. About what conversation means and how I, as a raconteur, understand what conversation means with my audience. Would you be here for that? I hope so.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high-o silver, the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, I remember that. That brings back memories. I got to tell you, I remember myself. I have a picture of myself in a cowboy suit. Imagine this, with two cap guns, and everyone who came to the door of this little apartment, I would shoot them dead with the cap guns. And my mother didn't say, don't do it. They laughed. Oh, they sent me to a psychiatrist today. They're getting training, safe space for the child. Ooh, he has cap guns. He's going to grow up to be a horrible person. Ooh, he shouldn't have a cap guns. He needs to be a snowflake. He shouldn't have cap guns. He should be putting on his mother's dresses. What a world we're living in. So I'm looking at a picture on the Drudge Report. There's Donald and him, the thin man, from last week. I'm looking carefully at their shoes and socks, and I realize that if I were invited to the White House, which could happen over the next 4 years, I don't think I have the right shoes and socks for the Oval Office. I don't have long black shoes with laces, number one. I do not have high socks, number two. I hate socks. I don't like shoes that lace up on my feet. What's with Obama? He's losing weight or what? The guy's like 110 pounds. How could a man this skinny do so much damage? Well, look what a mosquito can do. Carries the, carries a Zika virus. Look what a mosquito can do. So forget that his weight doesn't matter. If a mosquito can wipe out a nation, malaria, dengue fever, all from mosquitoes. So what's the difference how thin he is when I think about it? But I really don't have the socks and shoes for the White House. You know, Obama has very long feet. I'm looking at him carefully. Thin, long feet. His shoe size is bigger than Don Donald's. That's interesting. Very creepy. Very eerie. Anyway, to get back to the show, radio. You think radio still has a future? What's the greatest memory you have of the Savage Nation?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
A Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-Men cannot reach. The Green Hornet.
Television, all good stuff, early radio. So I would imagine that, and I'd sit with Dad, and he'd be smoking, and he would, when they were down on the waterfront, let's say hunting for someone, you know, you'd hear the sound of a foghorn. And your little kid hears the foghorn, he's on the waterfront, hunting for that enemy of America, as we are today hunting for the enemies of America. And hopefully Donald will be the man to do it. Maybe Donald is going to be the Elliot Ness of America that we've been looking for, to go in and clean the swamp and clean the nation up. I see good things happening. I mean, maybe Rinso is there just to do his bidding. We hope so. But, you know, it's a struggle to believe that the Republicans are going to let go of power. But, again, not to drift into that today. I don't want to do it. My mind is not on it right now. We got him elected. I worked on it for a long time. We're here. We got to settle back a little bit, give it a chance to settle. And we're coming up to Thanksgiving. God, what memories I'm going to have for you next week. All the memories I have about family trips for Thanksgiving. And they're all pretty good. There's nothing negative. There's no horrible, dark comedy about it that I can share with you. There was, but I'm not going to talk about it. It's my business. There were some bad things that happened. But again, who wants to talk about that? I want to talk about the great memories of family and being in America in that time. The train from, Penn Station. Yeah, I remember it to this day. Yeah, Penn Station out to Pennsylvania. We switched from electric trains. They were using electric trains in Manhattan in those days. In New York, you had to use electric even in then those days. And we'd get over the river, under the river, come out in New Jersey. They would switch engines to coal-burning behemoths. And for the rest of the trip out to my cousin's house, this thing would spew black, horrible smoke. To a kid, it was beautiful. I love the smell of the cinders. What did I know I was giving myself lung cancer? How did I know? What does a kid know? He doesn't know anything. Only today you think a childhood genius. The morons, what do they know? They're being used like cannon fodder in the streets by the communist professors. A kid. Real wisdom. So, that's a product of gluten-free and no meat. Look what they can't think. You give them a hamburger once a day, I guarantee they'll have their brains come back to them. But nevertheless, I don't want to talk about nutrition. I want to talk about radio. And again, I think these questions are very important. And the big one is, do you listen to anything else except talk radio? I know you listen to me, and many of you listen to other shows. Great. What are your greatest Savage Show memories? When did you first listen to the show? Did you listen to the show with a parent that was no longer here? What memory do you have of that? You know how many years I've been on the radio? 22 years. Think about that. I have people calling saying, my father passed 5 years ago. I first heard your show when I was 10, and now I'm 32. And my father loved you, or my grandmother still loves you. That kind of thing. I mean, I get those things. It's hard to believe. And, you know, I got to tell you, listen, I do my show largely out of home studios. You know that. Tomorrow's going to be unique. I'm going to be in San Francisco at KSFO Studios. That's my plan to celebrate. I can't be in Chicago for reasons I care not to discuss. It's a real heartbreak for me, but I cannot be there. But I can travel that far. I'm going to be there and I'm going to get some food for the people. I'll be with Teddy. He's with me right now. And we'll do a very special show for you tomorrow. If there's breaking news, I'm going to give it to you today and tomorrow. But there is no breaking news. You can make it into breaking news by screaming and getting a hernia, if you like. You can scream and yell and give yourself a hernia over everything. I'm not going to do that. I want to take your calls. And here's one that I can't wait for. Dane on WJR in... Where we are. Here we're line five in Detroit. How are you, Dane? What's on your mind?
Good. Well, I have to say runner-up show is why liberal cities have better food than conservative cities.
No, that was a good one. They do. Liberal cities have better coffee, better wine, better food. No question.
But my number one show was when you had the Jewish mobster on, and you weren't sure if it was real or not. And I remember he lasted three commercial breaks. And I was home, and I sat in my car for another 45 minutes just listening to the show. And I'll always remember that show.
How long ago was it? Because we're going to try and find that in the archives for tomorrow. I don't remember that at all.
I'm going to say 5 years ago.
So that was before I was with Cumulus.
That's right.
So you weren't listening to me on WJR because I wasn't on that station 5 years ago.
No, I was. That was on WOR out of New York.
Oh, we're not allowed to mention the letter deficient station. All right, so it's when I was on in another station in New York. That's interesting. A Jewish mobster. What was he talking about?
Well, he had gone to a Mexican prison, and he was in there for several years. And then he also was talking about how he found religion, and he was also saying how there's no honor in people today. And that's kind of reflects back on your show. Yes.
Are you sure he was a Jewish mobster, not of another ethnic extraction? Well, how do you know he was a Jewish mobster?
I remember the show. I have listened to it since again. I found it.
Is it on YouTube? Because we got to get this one. If we give you a free book, a copy of Scorched Earth, would you look it up and send it to us by email?
Absolutely.
All right, stay on the line. Robert, get the gentleman's thing, because there we go. You're going to produce my show for me tomorrow. Great. Unbelievable to me. Ann, KSFO, San Francisco. What's on your mind, Ann?
Hey, hi, Mike. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I just want to tell you that radio is really the only medium that has changed my life, and I'm just so grateful to you. I've been listening to you, honestly. It could be almost a full 22 years that you've been on the air. I graduated from San Jose State and got a job in outside pharmaceutical sales, and you kept me going out in the field, and I'm sure you do that for a lot of outside.
I got to ask you a question about that. You're a drug detailer, in essence. You go around and you give doctors samples and all. Those jobs still exist?
You know what? They were dwindling after Obamacare. And a lot of the taxes that they put on medical device companies and pharmaceutical companies. But I'm.
Do you? I mean, Do you still do that? Do you still go around to doctors with the medication stuff?
I have to say, this is how I am actually a stay-at-home mom now, and.
How much do they get? How much do they make a year? How much does a drug detailer today make a year?
Well, if you do it part-time, I've heard you can make about $20 a call. But now it's very difficult to see a doctor. Doctors are busy. They are running.
Right. The doctors don't have a spare minute. Every second is accounted for. They have to see in a Kaiser Hospital a patient every 7 minutes, I heard. Think about that one.
They do. Even in private practice, they need to see a patient every 10 minutes to be able to afford their insurance, their lease, their building lease, their staff.
Wow.
I feel for these doctors.
So you still listen to radio because you're a stay-at-home mom. Do you let your children listen to this show?
Absolutely. They were just in the car with me. I just picked up a bunch of Boy Scouts. They have a half day because no one goes to school, it seems, anymore. They give them a half day for...
What is the... Everywhere I look in the neighborhood, in these white neighborhoods, the kids are home all the time. Every time I turn around, the children are running around. What is this with the stay at home every other day? What the heck is going on in California?
I'll tell you, Mike, it's the teacher work days. The teacher unions get...
What do you mean by a work day? The work means teaching children. What work day? What are they doing? Plotting how to overthrow Trump?
Yes. Absolutely. And
listen, one thing Trump has to do is take the unions on and roll up his shirt sleeves. These thugs have to be taken on. They have destroyed the schools in this country, let alone everything else they've touched.
Mike.
Thank you, Ann. I'm sending you today a gift for the holidays, Teddy and Me. Beautiful book. I don't even know if it's still in the stores. I'm pretty sure it is. You can probably get it on Amazon. It's actually a fabulous, fun book for the family. You should read it around the Thanksgiving table. And my favorite story in it is the one about little bears and little dogs. I love it. It was like a child's fable inside the book. A classic, as good as The Little Prince. What would you like to talk about? I got great callers. Don't think I'm groping. I'm asking you because we got one open line now. One open line. Let's go to WABC. Line one. Nate, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Nate?
Hey, Dr. Savage, congratulations on this honor that you're getting tomorrow.
Thank you.
Your show is, it may sound weird, but it's a divine conduit, and I've got evidence to prove it. When I hear you, I hear it's aspirational for me. Like many people, I live in mediocrity. I live in a monotonous life. Thank God I'm healthy and everything's good, but when I hear you, you strike chords that I can't reach on my own. Specifically, one show you were talking about a baker and a lawyer. You were comparing and contrasting the two.
Oh, come on. I don't remember these shows. I have no recollection. It's like I'm listening about somebody else. Give me the story. I can't wait to hear it.
This was you. So you were painting this beautiful description of the baker, take them flour, and how he's laughing and enjoying life and telling good jokes, and people like him. And then you contrasted that with the lawyer, the snake oil salesman. And unfortunately, I'm a lawyer, and I heard the show, and I cracked in my car. I said, oh, woe is me. You know, I'm the lawyer. But I swear to you, this is true. A few weeks later, a friend of mine called me, and he says, Nate, he says, you know, a friend of mine, he's got a bake shop, this friend was a food broker, and he's looking for a CFO, for somebody to come on board. Why don't you come meet him? I said, I've got no experience. He said, just come meet the guy. Any event, I go down there on Sunday morning, and I'm sitting with this guy. He's caked in flour, exactly how you described. His name's Manny. He was the most lovable guy in the world. My friend, after an hour and a half, my friend looked at me. I was in a daze. My friend says, what's the matter? I said, you'll never believe this. I said, this is exactly what Dr. Savage described on the radio.
Right. So did you go to work for them?
I didn't. I didn't end up going to the job. I didn't end up taking it.
But what you're saying is the point is the baker was like I described it.
I'm still looking for that. I will be the Dr. Savage. I will be that baker one day. I may not work in a bakery. I may still be a lawyer, but I will.
Well, the truth is this. Look, we need bakers and we need lawyers. We need good bakers and good lawyers. But I never met a baker who was unhappy. They all have a kind of a contentment about them. I think they're getting high on all the gluten that's flying around in the air.
Savage, when I used to tell my friend that you're my...
It's like second... Wait a minute. It's like secondhand gluten smoke.
I'll take first and I'll take secondhand, whatever I can get. When I used to tell my friends that you were my teacher and my rabbi, they used to laugh. And then they started listening to your show. And every, when we get together on a Thursday night, whatever it is, when we get together, you know what we talk about? We talk about Torah, we talk about life, we talk about our children, we talk about our families, and we talk about what you talk about. We talk about your shows.
Wow.
It's a beautiful...
You know, here's the challenge and the problem with being a radio show host, as I am, sitting alone in isolation, largely in his own home studios. I'm here with the dog. There are no people here. We don't know who we are reaching. All we can do is imagine who we are reaching. But how in the world can you imagine a person like you listening, being touched by something that we say, even casually, and then it affects their lives? How can we even imagine that?
When you talk about meatballs, it affects my life. It's about how you talk about it. It's the excitement for life. Like I said at the beginning, a lot of us live in monotony. We live in mediocrity. But your passion, your excitement, your humor, I think you should chronicle the shows. I would do it for you. You need a chronicle. You need to make a series about food, a series about this petty, a series about different things, about cities.
That's very interesting. In other words, isolated by subject matter. That's very, very interesting. You have a good ear for this stuff.
I have
almost all my shows on archive except the ones that are being withheld from me illegally by a person who I used to work with who will not give me a single show from the archives that are mine by law. I won fair and square in three courts of law, including the Supreme Court, and these people will not release a single tape for me to put into my library to show you what I was dealing with all those years. Can you imagine this?
Well, they'll release it, and you'll travel to England. This will all happen.
Well, if Donald Trump gets things under control and things are settled, the one thing I would ask of him downstream a year from now, 2 years from now, is to get my name off that list. At which point, Nate, I'll invite you and all the other listeners who want to go with me. I'll take 20,000 people to England to celebrate freedom ringing back in England again. We'll go visit the tomb of Winston Churchill instead of Karl Marx. Hey, Nate, we're going to send you Teddy and me. I thank you for touching you and you for touching me back, and this is the kind of show it's about. We have the Winston Churchill speech, don't we, mentioning his name? I think I put it on the log for today. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight at the sea. We shall never give up. What a speech. You talk about the power of speech. You got to hear this Winston Churchill speech about we will fight. And when I come back, we'll play it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I can still remember the Elvis peg pants I had in the seventh grade that got ripped when the bigger kid pushed me down because he had the same pants. And I ripped the pants, and what happened after that one? Welcome all. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're going down Savage Memory Lane today because tomorrow is the big day for me and others in the industry where I will be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, which no one can take away from you. See, here's the beauty of it. You can get all the trolls in the world putting you down, all of the people saying not nasty things, but you get the award and you go in the museum. Your memory, your tapes, whatever, go in there. So it's a great day for me, and there are other great people in there. And I found something for you that I'll conclude with. It's from 8101, handwritten. I wish I could give this away and donate the money to us, someone in the military who needs it. Here it was. I wrote this. Welcome all, welcome all. Here we go. Loony Leninists, mad-eyed Marxists, Toyota Trotskyites, eBay Engelists, Maudlin Maoists, cheating Che's, castrated Castroites, sneering Stalinists. Welcome to the Savage Nation, the radio show you've come to love to hate. Welcome also, you fellow travelers, you dashing Dashielites, you gaping Gephardites, you nasal Waxmans, you stuttering Schumerites, you conniving Kennedyites, you jaded Jacksons, you scheming Sharptonites, you lecherous Liebermanites, you craven Clintonites, you biting Boxerites, you finagling Feinsteinistas, you fuming Bonnie Frankensteins. Welcome one and all to the Savage Nation. It's not bad. I got other stuff that I've just dug out of an old file. You're going to enjoy it. I believe me, you will.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The Lone Ranger.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies that even the G-men cannot reach. The Green Hornet.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
That's a little montage of some of the sound that brought me to you. I mean, from my childhood, Jim put it together. Jim Verdi, the maestro there in the Dallas studio, along with Robert Borowski. And we're doing a National Radio Hall of Fame pre-show today on the program. If you just joined us, I'm asking you some questions such as, first of all, thank you for voting me in. I won against a very good competitor, and I'm sure he'll win another year, but he's a good competitor, and I have nothing but good things to say about him. And here's the question. Do you still listen to any other shows other than talk radio? And many of you listen to me and you listen to other shows. I know that. But is there anything else in radio you listen to? As I said in the first hour, I don't listen to radio other than my own show. And I've made that a rule in my whole life because I learned early on that if you listen to another show, what you wind up doing is copying that show. And it's 100% true. Or ridiculing the other show. I don't listen to other shows. But are there other shows other than talk radio that you listen to? Like news, I don't. Do you think radio has a future in this age of advanced technology? Why did you vote for me? What are your greatest Savage Show memories? And I'm expanding it now to how do you think the show has evolved over the years? Because it has changed. There's no question about it. Some would say it's much better. And I agree with that. I mean, I'm much different than I was in some ways, but my voice is identical. In fact, tomorrow I'm going to play some archive shows from the first months I did radio, and I would challenge you to find any difference in my delivery from those days. Admittedly, in the beginning, people are more nervous, more intense, more desperate to fill every little interstice of air with something, and they get jammed up on it. And at this point, I feel much like Babe Ruth did in his later years of baseball, meaning you just get up and you take a swing and you miss a few, but the ones that you hit go out of Yankee Stadium. And then you walk around the bases and you don't have to run. And that's really what I try to achieve, because if you keep screaming and yelling and running and creating hysteria for yourself, you're going to hurt yourself in plain English. So let's go to some of the great callers. And I have for you some things that I've never done for today. I'd like to take some calls, though. WFTL, down there in Fort Lauderdale. Mark, thanks for calling from Florida. What's on your mind, Mark? Go ahead, please.
Doctor, it's a great honor to speak with you on the eve of your fantastic achievement. And I'm proud to say that my family delivered 5 votes for you out of the gate. Very, very proud to say that.
And thank you.
Donald. You're welcome, sir. 4 for Donald, as 1 is too young to vote. I think that the mark of a great broadcaster, which you are, is you have an ability, an awesome ability, to form an emotional bond, if you will, with the common man, with Eddie, his wife, his children. You do that. Quite often I find myself listening, and thoughts that I'm thinking, you articulate as I'm thinking them. My wife will often tell me, you know, I know why you love this guy so much, because he's you, and you are him. So you have achieved that, at least with me, but I know with many, many millions, perhaps 46 million of Eddies across this country, you've done a great service.
If you can walk with kings and never lose the common touch, then you will be a man, my son. I remember that very deeply from the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. We must never, ever lose touch with ourself and our original self if we can hold on to it. It's what keeps us real, it keeps us connected, and it enables us to communicate with people. The day we start to like try to be something that we're not is the day we lose everything, don't you think?
I completely agree. That is a real key to life and success in life. Never forget who you are and who else is out there.
I remember this story. I got to tell you this story. Are you of Italian extraction, Mark?
I am, sir.
I remember the story I heard many years ago. I have a good ear for ethnic groups. I'm glad I got there. Don't let me ask Howard Beach again, because the third day in a row I'm going to ask what part of Brooklyn are you from.
Grew up in Ozone Park.
Ozone, see? The John Gotti neighborhood.
That's correct. That is correct.
And you're in Florida, where, in witness protection or regular life?
Well, let's not say.
You're
visiting, I guess you could say.
Oh, God, I shouldn't have gone there, man. I'm sorry. So, listen, I don't want to receive a fish in the mail wrapped in a newspaper.
Not at all.
I remember the story. It was about an Italian man who grows up poor, dirt poor in Brooklyn or New York, nothing. And, you know, he starts out, the grandfather was crushing wine grapes in a basement, and they made homemade wine, and he drank the homemade wine with the family around the holidays. They drank the wine, the red wine, the cheap red wine that was so strong, and the kids drank it with them at the holidays. And as it went on, he made money, went on in life, and he would buy the finest of Italian wines, the finest of French wines. There was no price that was too high for him. And then when he became an older man, he no longer wore those sharp suits that he was wearing in his 30s, 40s, and 50s. He started to dress again like his grandfather, wearing almost whatever was around the house. And he went back to drinking that same old wine that his grandfather made in the basement. And that says it all to me, truthfully.
That's a beautiful story. A beautiful story. May I give you my favorite memory?
Yes, please.
It's a very recent one, as it occurred on your show right after the election. I felt, moving into the election, that if it did not go the right way, I honestly felt that it meant that God had turned his back on this great country that we love, and that you so clearly and beautifully articulate your love for this country. Another connection I have with you.
Yeah, life with Trump, death with Clinton. That was the opening line to Scorched Earth.
We won it
because everyone listening to this show went out and voted. You know, think about this. I was competing with a gentleman in radio who has a much bigger show with a much larger audience, and he lost because my audience is more loyal. That's a reality. They all went out and voted for me. I'm the underdog. The same exact dynamics occurred in this election. Every person who was thinking of not voting and saying, what's the difference? They said, I'll give it one more shot, and they went out and voted for him. And he won by that small minority of people, I think, that listened to radio, to be honest with you.
I agree. And you gave credit within the first, I would say, 3 to 5 seconds of your opening after the election. I believe you said, make no mistake about it, the hands of God were all over this election.
100%. It was the most stunning upset in American political history. Very few people had it right. I bet on Donald a long time ago, and I'm proud of the fact that I decided that his policies matched my policies, at least in theory and in principle. Whether he'll be able to enact them is another question, given the recalcitrant nature of Congress to begin with, and the political structure that's in place. It's very hard to move a ship of this size, but he'll do the best he can. I see some good things happening, and I think that, frankly, Rinso will be pulled into line. I don't think Rinso's going to pull him in line.
I agree.
And this is one of these days. It's like a truth machine. It's like sodium pentothal on the air. I didn't know what I wanted to talk about today, but from 6 in the morning I was up. I couldn't think of anything except the National Radio Hall of Fame tomorrow, what a big deal it is for everyone in the industry. And I said, that's all I'm thinking about. How could I talk about anything else? So here we are talking about it. It's an organic, dynamic program. I think people are enjoying it. One never really knows. And I'm trying to engage people. And here you are calling me out. Where are you, in Fort Lauderdale, actually, or where in Florida?
I prefer the...
I'm sorry. I'll go back to my first statement. Let's let it go at that. Okay. Hidden location. I remember when I was driving through Florida, when we first moved down there, you would drive on Federal Highway, and you would see one strip mall after another. And in the middle of the winter, when nobody, in the middle of summer, when no one was there, there was an Italian restaurant in virtually every strip mall. So I said, I know what neighborhood I'm in.
With one more.
You don't happen to own one of those restaurants, do you?
Oh, no, sir, but I do frequent Italian restaurants with some degree of frequency, yes.
Good, good. They're all good down there. They're really all good down there. It's old style, red sauce. Red, so you can get your gluten and love it. You can get your gluten and meatballs down there, and you don't have to explain it to anybody.
Who knew from gluten when we grew up?
How come your grandfather was able to knock a mule over with his hands and he ate gluten? How come it didn't kill him?
No cell phones, no bike helmets, no gluten, none of that.
No bike helmets. No bike helmets. I love it. We used to make scooters out of wood and orange crates and put skates underneath them and go down steep hills in the Bronx with no helmets. And no mother was screaming, look out, you'll die. If you fell off, you scraped your face and you scraped your hand and you put a Band-Aid on it. They spilled some peroxide on it, and that was the end of it. Today, they have to call the police.
That's right. You went on. And you know what? If you wave the capstone around, ooh, we have to evaluate that boy.
I would give anything to find those cap guns today. Do they still make cap guns?
I don't think they do. And you can find them in antique stores. Sometimes you pass through those.
I'm going to buy myself a gift for Christmas, which is a set of cap guns.
You'll spend some good coin for that because they come at a price now. Let me tell you. They come at a price.
I want to thank you, by the way, Mark, for your kind comments. Not only that, but your loyalty. I hear it in your call. I hear it in your voice. You have a busy life. You have another life, a life different than mine. You come from a different walk of life than mine, and yet there is a common thread between your life and mine, and we have met as friends on the highway of radio, and I want to thank you for voting for me and for participating in this show. And I'm going to send you a beautiful gift for Thanksgiving and the holidays, Teddy and me. I think you'll love it. Stay on the line. Beautiful call. Why is it I feel good? I feel like the old story of there was a great comedian in the 50s. I loved him to death. His name was Buddy Hackett. No one remembers anymore. I saw him once live in the Catskill Mountains. I was a little kid. I don't remember the show. He was up on stage. He was just a wonderful, funny guy, a natural, funny man. Sort of like a... Abbott and Costello. He was like the dumpy, short guy with a short haircut, but strong kind of personality, like an opera singer with a dough face. And he yelled a lot. So he tells the story that he was drafted into the Army, and they brought him over to Fort Dix, New Jersey, to put him in basic training. And he said that after eating the Army food, he didn't know what was wrong with him. So he went into the infirmary, and the doctor said, "What's wrong with you, Mr. Hackett?" I don't know. He says, "My stomach doesn't feel good. I don't have indigestion for the first time in my life. I don't know what's wrong." That struck me as so funny. Who could reverse things like that but the great old comedians, right? You get the joke? I have to explain it to half the people in the audience. So they get, no, most of them are done. I'm not paying. In other words, he ate Army food, which is normal, bland American food. He didn't have indigestion. He thought he was sick. Because he grew up in a Jewish house where they ate such garbage every day. Heavy, horrible food that killed all the men on purpose, by the way. The whole cuisine of that ethnic group was to knock out the men as fast as possible so the women could live with their daughters. Anyway, I'll be back in a minute. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. This poem is dedicated to mothers. It's from an early radio show. In my day, if there was an entertainer, the first thing the mothers would say was that he was a family man and would never cheat on his wife. The women cared about that in those days. They would be in the kitchen moving around the breadcrumbs with the serrated knife on the oilcloth tablecloth. The women would talk, and I don't know why, but I was always in the dining room listening to what the wise women were saying. They would sift the crumbs with their serrated bread knives, and by the time the coffee hour was over, and those women got through talking, and the crumbs were very finely sifted, they had resolved all the personal problems in their lives, and all of the world's problems, and I felt the world was a good place to live in. I don't know when that show is from, but, you know, I got to tell you what I just found. I, years ago, was approached by a young man who was a saxophone player, an artist named Sam Gendel. I had never met him. And he had put together a book called The Found Poetry of Dr. Michael Savage. I don't know how many pages it is, 100 pages or whatever. It's very long. And he had listened to my shows for years as an artist and musician. And he extracted the words from my monologues, leaving out the extraneous connecting words, and put them together in a book. And we never went ahead with the project for a number of reasons. I think I'm going to do it then. God willing, in 2017, I'll get in touch with him. He's probably going to hear this. We'll put his saxophone behind it. And here's another. I'd read one more just for the heck of it. It's from the radio shows. This is called Sinful Nation, if I can get my hands on that one and flip around to that in time. And here we go. Sinful Nation. This nation has no memory. This is a nation with Alzheimer's disease. This nation has no past. This nation seems to have no future. This nation seems to have only a present. To watch the most anti-gun, anti-war, anti-police loudmouths in history rushing to sign your sons up to go die. To watch the full court press, the warmongers, the hate mongers, the liars dragging America's sons into war. The unwisdom has been written. It will be spoken. There's more to come on this warm-up show for the Radio Hall of Fame show tomorrow. I hope you'll continue to listen right here on your local station.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I actually thought I was going to take lessons at my age. What's the difference? What is the difference? You know, playing that song, I can still smell the Newport cigarettes that I used to smoke once in a while in the cars going over to 59th Street Bridge into Manhattan to go out at night. I just can smell the smoke in the car going and coming. The tasty bread, the Silver Cup Bread Factory, which became a movie factory many years ago. Looking down, when I was younger, going over the bridge to my father's store, the Williamsburg Bridge. It's a bridge that goes from Queens into Lower Manhattan where his store was. We still saw down there in the Brooklyn Navy Yard, if you can believe there was a Navy Yard, now I don't know what it is, probably housing, we would see warships from World War II with the insignias, the numbers on them, sitting down there in the Navy Yard. And I used to sit and stare at the Domino Sugar Company, and I'd see big, big, big pallets of sugar coming off in sacks. You know what it did to a boy who's trapped into a certain life? When you see a ship and you see sugar coming off and you see Domino and you see warships, your mind travels there. So I imagined where the ship came from. Before that car got off that bridge in Manhattan, I was on a ship jumping ship in Panama. Would you believe it? Well, years later, I did go to Panama on a ship. To this day, I stopped in Panama for one night. I remember I was on a small ship. I don't know what I even went there for. I can't remember. But I remember what happened. I got off in Panama. And I wandered around and asked about music because I loved Cuban music. And I know Panamanian music was astoundingly almost as good, Afro-Cuban music, Afro-Panamanian music. And some people led me to a place that was, try to picture this. It was a band shell that backed up to a seawall that backed up to the pounding surf, right? So now next to this promontory, they built this band shell. So now here I come there, get off the ship all alone. There's the music blaring right out of, like, Havana is what it sounded like. But strangely enough, it was not just young people going out to party and meet girls or whatever. There were old people. There were young people. There were babies in the mother's arms. There were old people asleep in chairs. The whole family would come out in Panama and listen to the music. And I said, wow, what a culture this is. But nevertheless, that memory sticks in my mind. You know, I just recalled a thing, remembrances of things past. So here. Well, here's another one of these old radio poem, found poems from the radio days. Four people, husband, wife, two children, son 12, daughter 14, not particularly good looking, not particularly bad looking, run of the mill, eating, God bless them, they're American. Now, the mother eating a meal, one bite from her plate, next bite reaching with fork, diagonally across the table, picking at her son's plate, full forkfuls of meat. Poor kid sitting with his face down, staring at the floor. She is knocking down her meal and her son's. Husband beaten to death, doesn't say a word. Daughter dreaming of being back home. Mother doesn't miss a beat like a machine. One bite my plate, one bite son's plate. Not even looking at her son. She's grabbing big forkfuls of meat like a bad George Gross painting. Big hunks of meat from her poor son's plate. Who is this boy going to be when he becomes a man? Now, that would be good to a little saxophone backup, wouldn't it? And the drum comes in right there and the cymbals. Should I read a few more of these, take some calls? Oh, here it is. Here's another. I'll give you a maudlin one for this part of the show. It's called Curtain Call. This Sam Gendel found all of these, pulled them out of shows of mine, sent it to me years ago. I hope he's listening. Here's one called Curtain Call. At a certain point, the end is near. You don't know when, but you start feeling that. You feel the red curtain. You say, what's it all about? At the end of the day, it's to try and walk tall and not hurt too many people or yourself. But by all means, don't get on your knees. You're going to meet animals along the way. You're going to meet the worst form of humanity. You're going to meet the lowest vermin on the planet. Some posing as conservatives who will cut your heart out for a dime. Some posing as religious who will cut your heart out for a dime. The ones who wear it on their sleeve. Watch out for them. See the way it ended? That's the way it ended. That's the way art ends. How about the will to go on, a shorty? From radio. He pulled all of this out. The will to go on, a half-crushed ant that crawls, still wanting to live by instinct, survival unto itself, a reason to carry on. That's a beautiful poem when you think about it, seeing a half-crushed ant crawling. I remember reading Freud many years ago. Remember him, the great genius? And he wrote that if one day you wake up and you find out that you can only crawl on one arm and one leg, he said crawl on one arm and one leg. And that means that no one is perfect. It means that when you finally get into yourself and find out who you are, you'll find out that you're crawling on one arm and one leg. We're talking psychologically, of course, not talking about physical. And you crawl anyway, because we're all just creatures. That's all we are, struggling our best. Is that simple? I mean, if you wanted me to give you the whole story, that's the whole story. There's nothing more. You can peel away all the pieces of the onion. That's the whole story. It's about survival. It's for survival unto itself. Is this too revealing? Let's see. Family vacation. I hope they're not listening. I had to take up painting when the kids were young. It got so bad that I was on the precipice of the hotel balcony, so I went and bought a watercolor set. I still have those pictures. One was a picture of an automobile without wheels and two adults and two children going nowhere with a little island in the middle. Quite an interesting picture when you think about it. Come on, you need a drum to go with this and a few rim shots, a little something. Here's a Freudian one. All of us are crawling on one arm and one leg. We are all psychic cripples in one way or another. Do you really think you are a whole person because you went to Woodstock and laid in the mud? It's pretty good. I would like the guy reading this stuff. I'm listening to you. See, I got to read it and listen to it and say, is it good or garbage or schmaltzy? It's good. How about this one? Darwin Dharma, D-H-A-R-M-A, for those of you who didn't read Kerouac. Darwin Dharma. Hold up the bones of a bird. See that they are perforated. The great designer made them porous, lighter for flight. Understand, it did not happen by itself, but through evolution, which is another word for God. It is not either or. Evolution is God. That's nice. Pretty good. How about another one? You want me to do this or take calls or what? How about mom? Or maybe this is too complicated about food. I'll read one more. God's Law, then I'll take your calls. Why did you vote for me? What are your greatest Sabbath show memories? Do you still listen to any other radio other than talk radio? That kind of stuff. Here's God's Law for those of you who are religious. You are not your own property. You are God's property. You'll say, I'm not God's property. I'm on television. I smoke dope. And I lay with any woman I want. I'm not anyone's property. I'm me. I'm me. I'm me. 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 I'm the most important me in the world. Well, you'll find out how important you are in the last few days of your life. Or in the last few minutes. You'll see, as you're screaming in the hospital, how important you are. And how much they remember you on HBO. Bill, did you hear that one, Bill? Finally... I guess I really had aimed that at somebody. I know who got that dart. Not the tall one on Fox. No, I meant HBO Bill. HBO Bill. One of the worst men in the universe. The biggest fraud that God ever made on two legs. How about... Hunan, this is dedicated to food because I got it coming from the city right now from a greasy Chinese restaurant I've eaten in for years. No matter what, they know me for 40 years. I still get the work. If you order takeout from this company, this place, they for 40 years, they still give you less when you get takeout, even though they know it's you. They can't help themselves. In all the years I communicated with my lovely mother about Chinese and Italian food, never once did she mention her favorite restaurant was a Hunan restaurant. So in deference to her, after she passed away, I started to go to her restaurant in Florida to try to sit in the booth she sat in. I go to that restaurant, and I know the food stinks. It sucks on dry ice, the worst. But I go because she went there, and it is somewhat familial. Most of the customers are in the 85 to 95 bracket. The men look like they're from the moon, like moon people. Short, shriveled, but they're still eating that stuff. And what I love, what is most beautiful about it, is there are couples in their 90s who are still together. I don't know how that works. How they didn't kill each other with a stroke or a heart attack from the way they talk to each other. In a disposable society where guys throw girls away and girls throw guys away, there is something beautiful about a couple still together in their 90s. Not only that, but they have a genetic capacity to eat this bad Chinese food and not get a coronary occlusion unless there is something they are taking that I don't know about, some kind of special trick fish oil from Palm Beach. Nevertheless, that is where I am going to eat tonight, after which I shall sleep like a baby. Good! Robert's on the board. He's the maestro of the sound. He's getting into it now. All spontaneous. All right, one more. Is this Bird of Prey, P-R-A-Y? Is this any good? Here we go. Bird of Prey. 2-2-2-2-2-2-2-2-1-2-1-2. See, everything in radio is timing. I never said that, did I? Maybe once in 20 years? Whether you know it or not, there's an internal metronome running in a good radio host. It's got to have a rhythm. It has to have timing, like it's music. Like 1-2-1-2. See, iambic pentameter. And then the beat, it's in there. It's in my voice. That's why you like me. Driving on a country road, a hawk drops out of the sky like a rock and plucks a mouse from the earth. Us humans think we're this, we're that, onward and upward, the whole ego of man. God drops like a hawk and plucks us anytime he wants. That would have been a good rim shot. Want to do it again, Robert? Let's do take two on Bird of Prey. Let's start. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good haiku-ish type thing, but it isn't the haiku because it's a haimu. Driving on a country road, a hawk drops out of the sky like a rock and plucks a mouse from the earth. Us humans think we're this, we're that, onward and upward, the whole ego of man. God drops like a hawk and plucks us anytime he wants. Okay, I mean, we do music tomorrow. Now let's take some calls. Am I in a segment where I can take a call? I lost track of time. I don't know where I am. I don't know what hour I'm in. I don't know what day I'm in. I know that I'm having fun on the radio, which is the primary rule of radio. Did you know that when I first started in radio? They used to say to me, have fun on the radio. If you're not having fun on the radio, the audience hates you. They'll turn it off. You know, I mean, what are they going to listen for? If they hear you screaming like you're being squeezed in the private parts of your body by an outside force? They want to enjoy themselves and maybe learn something and be motivated. Yes. But ultimately, radio is supposed to move you and entertain you and leave you feeling a little better when you leave the show than when you went in. Not leaving you wish you were dead. You got enough of that outside the theater of the mind, don't you, right? Steve on KVOR Radio in Colorado, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I'd like to bring up a few memories. One of them, you were in the 90s, you were talking about living near a funeral home, and you looked in there, and I guess you saw the embalming, and that was something that changed your life. I'm a funeral director, so that's what caught my attention. And going up to Katz's and having the guy make it some tuna fish and dropping the ash in there.
Wait a minute. Big Al's tuna is a story everybody wants to hear. Now, are you a funeral director now?
Yes, sir. And also another story is when you were the waiter.
Wait. So let me, Steve, wait. So you're around the stiffs day and night?
Yes, sir. I lived in the mortuary.
How does that work? How do you go home after that without freaking out?
I look at it as I'm helping people. I'm helping people in the worst time of their lives, and a lot of people come into my establishment, they're brokenhearted and sad, and they say, we feel bad, we're leaving laughing, because life is good, and God is good, and that's how I treat all my people that come to me.
Now, when they bring them in to your funeral home, do you perform someone performs the work downstairs?
Yeah, I do everything, sir. It's my wife and I. We're one of the last independent firms around.
So you actually perform the embalming?
Yes, sir.
Now, that doesn't freak you out, pulling out the people's the organs?
Well, you don't pull anything out. I've been doing it since I'm a kid from Bayonne, New Jersey. And the radio thing I want to talk about is, remember the make-believe ballroom with Willie B. Williams?
I do. It's make-believe ballroom time. I remember my aunt and uncle used to listen to it when I was a little boy. They were the young ones in the family, and he just came back from World War II. I can remember his uniform to this day. I do.
Well, I learned that about that. I'm only 49, but my uncle would play it when we were working in the mortuary, and they'd be dancing, and it was a beautiful time years ago.
So, Steve, let me ask you something. I mean, this is like a crazy call. I love it. You're what of ethnic background are you?
I'm a Polish Russian Jew.
So do you perform a Jewish? You're all religions or specific?
I'm pretty much. I was brought up half and half, Catholic and Jewish, so I kind of take the best of both worlds there.
But the Jewish people don't believe in embalming, do they? I mean, if an Orthodox Jew dies, I understand they're buried within 24 hours in a plain pine casket. I don't believe they're embalmed. Is that right or wrong?
That's correct. They get what's called tahara, which is a ritual washing, which is done by the we usually used to get the Hasidics to come in to do that for us.
Oh, my God. I remember my mother, may she rest in peace. Believe me, it's coming back to me. And the closer you get, I could talk with you for a while, but I am so out of time. I'll be right back. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, this hour's coming to an end. I want to refer to a New York Times article, as Donald Trump builds team. The Right Scours His Blueprints by Jeremy Peters, November 15th, and I'm the only conservative host that they mention because they know what's going on. Now they have all three, and one of the biggest unknowns facing conservatives is how long they will wait for Trump to meet them. I'm advising Trump to beware, the conservative radio host Michael Savage said this week, because if he loses his base on the first day, what's going to happen in the first month? So at least the New York Times, whether they like me or not, recognize the importance of this show, and I want to thank you for being part of the show and for electing me to the National Radio Hall of Fame, which will be tomorrow, right here on this program.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
The golden age of love songs, the golden age of radio, the golden age of America. Here we are now in the opposite. And we don't know if America can ever come back. And I'm taking a little hiatus from the normal political fare of the show and doing what I've done over 22 years, which is go into other directions. And we're talking about the fact that tomorrow I am being inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, which is a big deal for me. It's a big deal to anybody in radio, no matter what they may say. They all want to be win an award like this. It's not given away like a, you know, a trophy in a Cracker Jack box. And I wanted to thank you for nominating me. I mean, you all voted for me. This was, I think, one of the few times that it was turned over to the people rather than the professionals in the business. And so it was a real election. It was like by the popular vote, I won the competition against a very good competitor who probably wins soon because he's been around as long as I have and he's a good broadcaster. But the point is, so today I'm talking about the show for tomorrow, really, and I'm preparing for it. And I asked you some questions, and many of you are calling on why did you vote for me? What are your greatest Savage Show memories? Do you think radio itself has a future? And we're going to talk about that. But again, I want to refer to a New York Times article that just came to me at the top of the last hour. I didn't even know about it, but it's an interesting article. I'll read you a paragraph. As Donald Trump builds team, the right scours his blueprints. Jeremy Peters, New York Times, November 15. For years, restless conservatives were told to wait. Wait until the Republicans controlled the House. Wait until they had the Senate. Wait until they occupied the White House. Now they have all three. And one of the biggest unknowns facing President-elect Donald J. Trump is how long they will wait for him. As Mr. Trump begins putting together a government, the ideological purists on the hard right, suspicious that his campaign pledge to upend Washington will give way to business as usual, are already watching warily as he makes his initial personnel and policy choices. Quote, I am advising Trump to beware, the conservative radio host Michael Savage said this week, because if he loses his base on the first day, what's going to happen in the first month? And then they go on, and they quote other people, and they talk about the appointment of Stephen Bannon to appease the right, blah, blah, blah. And then they quote other people, and they quote different ones here and there. But it's interesting to me that they chose me amongst all in radio, because obviously they listen to me in New York on ABC, and they whether they agree with me or not, they know that I know what I'm talking about. This one I don't like. I never liked him to begin with, but they quote a guy named Michael Steele, the former RNC committee chairman, who they said has helped informally advise Mr. Trump. I never trusted Steele. Listen to what he said. He said, that's going to be the problem he'll face. Those rabble-rousers, the people who pulled him over the finish line, they're watching to see. Will you empower us to help you drain the swamp, or are you just going to add more swamp water? But all I can say to you, Michael Steele, is you know where you can go, back where you came from, which is Nowhereville. We're the rabble-rousers? We're the reason you exist, you moron, you. What are you talking about, rabble-rousers? We're the reason Trump was elected, you schmuck. Who are you? You're nobody. You were thrown out of your job because you are Schmendrick. The conservatives who found a hero in Mr. Trump through his brand of populism are not likely to be placated by half-measures and conciliations. And then they quote other people. And I don't have to read it, but Laura Ingraham's quoted. She's very smart. I hope she becomes press secretary. I like her. Laura said, this is the people's president, and this is the people's victory. This is your victory. Take a little time to savor it, and then we're going to gear up because there are a lot of battles to fight ahead. She knows. Maybe that's why she's not been called to Trump Tower. Look, if this is an administration where if you say one word they don't like, they don't talk to you, what have we gained here? If that's what's going to happen now? Why, you say one word already, you're out? Because you didn't like a bracelet that somebody wore? Now you can't be invited to the inaugural ball? That's what we killed ourselves for? Yes, probably. What else is new under the sun? The beautiful part here is I don't care one way or the other. My life's going to change? Not going to change one way or the other. Sure, I'd like to advise him on certain things. Sure, I have tremendous ideas to offer him. Sure, many of his campaign speeches were derived directly from my most recent bestseller, Scorched Earth, and more particularly from Government Zero, which preceded it. Fine. I don't care. Does he have to get up and say, I want to thank this person particularly and bring me up on the stage and wave my book around? It's not going to happen. He's got other things to do. I'm not the highest priority on his list, okay? So let's go back to what we're doing here on the Savage Nation, which is talk about the stuff we're talking about, right? I want to start with Mary on KVOR Radio up in Colorado, line one. Mary, go ahead, please.
I'm calling about one of my memories. A few years ago, I wrote down what you said at the very end of a really great show where you were talking about depression. You said it used to be that people would pull themselves out of that dark hole by writing a song, singing a song, writing a book or a poem. Now they are labeled bipolar and given some meds.
It's true. If they had the psychiatrists of today and the medical quacks who push pills down everyone's throat, there'd be no great paintings.
But what really got to me and touched me was that you followed it by saying, so if I, Michael Savage, can pull myself up out of a dark hole every day and go on the air, maybe you can listen to me and maybe you can sing a song tomorrow.
Wow, that is so beautiful. That's inspirational, Mary.
It's very beautiful.
That's almost like Khalil Gibran. If someone could put together these inspirational quotes like that, that's a beautiful one. Because the fact of the matter is, I've had a great deal of, let's say, existence in that particular realm. Let's put it to you that way. And I have always found that work is the only salvation. I learned that from reading widely and stumbling upon some brilliant people who wrote things that helped me see the light, and one of them was Rodin. I never met the sculptor. I loved his work. But I remember reading that he wrote that work is the only salvation. Work, work, work. In other words, if you're a sculptor, sculpt. If you're a painter, paint. If you're a singer, sing. If you're a songwriter, write songs. But for God's sakes, if you sit and do nothing, you're going to get more and more depressed. I thank you. Let me send you a Teddy and Me book. I don't know if the young lady is still there, but that's true. I mean, you gotta just do it. It's that simple. Now let's go to the next caller on the Savage Nation. Where's the best next caller? WDRC, that's in Houston, is it not? Did I get that right? No? I'm sorry, Connecticut. That's very close to another station. I just got up in Houston, down in Houston. DRC in Connecticut. Linda, line 8, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, one of my most favorite shows is very recent, when you spoke with Mato, the Dakota Sioux tribal member, and you guys had a very lengthy conversation, and it brought earth medicine back to scorched earth, and you did commit to having a more lengthy conversation with him in the future, and I've been waiting with bated breath for that to happen.
We've not called him, but we should, Robert. If we have his number, we should try to reach him and have another conversation when the time is right. Because the election is over, we're moving into another world. I wanted to know what he has to say about the election. You know, you don't know who listens to the show. Thank you very much, Linda. We're sending you Scorched Earth. Like yesterday, I was talking about the movie by Mel Gibson, the Sawtooth, whatever it's called. And in the middle of the show, because it had moved me talking about the movie, I got an email from the program director of KSFO, the great station in San Francisco where I started my radio career, and Mr. Anthony said to me, the producer of that movie is trying to reach you. He's listening to you right now in Nashville, and he came on the show. It's amazing, right? The reach of the show. It's the same like today. How do I know who's listening to this program right now? You are. All of you who are listening to the show right now. Now, what are you listening for? What do you want me to do, read headlines from websites that you can go to yourself? Is that what you expect from me? No, you don't. Or sit here and scream about liberals all day long, how bad they are? No, you don't. That's been done already. How many times can you say liberal and sneer at liberal, 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 liberal? How many times can you do that? Who can listen to that anymore? We're way past that, aren't we? Haven't we evolved? I hope so. I'm one of the restless conservatives who were told to wait. That's all. And now Michael Steele is calling us what? What name did he call us? Who is that guy? What did he say? Rabble rousers. We're a rabble rouser? This guy wishes he could have a radio show. It wouldn't last 1 second. Hey, Michael Steele, the former RNC chairman, why don't you come on the show and call all those people who elected Donald Trump rabble rousers? I dare you. Here's my phone number. 855-400-SAVAGE. Mr. Steele, are you listening? You're being challenged. Your manhood is on the line. 855-407-282. Come on this show and repeat what you said to the New York Times reporter trying to curry favor with the people who you, the day before, you were spitting at. He helped informally advise Mr. Trump? That's not a good sign, calling us rabble-rousers. I'm sorry. Not a good sign at all. KSFO, Sharon, line 9. I don't intend to get angry. I'm not going to. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just want you to know that I started with bated breath listening to you, and when you first started, I opened up a business in 1994, and no one was allowed to talk. I had to listen to it, and I had it set in my delivery van, and always listened to you. You made such great common sense to me, and about the only kind of person that I could talk to or listen to that made any sense, and all through the years. Now, I especially love it when you do your jazz. I'm a Dizzy Gillespie fan, and when you play his music.
Oh, wait, we got to find a night in, what's that one, the great one from Dizzy Gillespie? Night in Tunisia. Now, that's a piece of music, isn't it? Hold on. Are you a musician yourself, Sharon?
Well, I play the piano, but I only read, you know.
What do you like about Dizzy?
I just his, I don't know, just everything about him. I used to go to Shelley's Manhole to see him.
Where?
Shelley's Manhole in Hollywood.
Please, this is a family show.
Drive in. Just a
ma'am, I'm sorry. This is a family show. You cannot repeat the name of that that auditorium.
Anyway, I just love everything that you do, even down to calling a remote a clicker.
Why do I call a remote a clicker? Why is that?
You know what? I call it that, and my kids look at me, and I say, what are you talking about? What are you saying?
That's fun. Robert, do we have Night in Tunisia by Dizzy Gillespie? We're working on it. We'll have it for the next. I love that particular piece of music. It moves me into another realm. And you can feel yourself in a strange land, right?
Yeah.
Sharon, thank you for being such a loyal listener. And thanks for voting me into the National Radio Hall of Fame. And I promise not to disappoint you tomorrow during that memorable day. We're going to do things that are different from today. I can guarantee it. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to join the celebration, the phone number is 855-407-282. And if you get on this show today, it will be something that will be in the archives forever.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I'm being inaugurated into they call it an induction, which sounds too electrical to me, but I'm being inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame tomorrow, and that's why we're celebrating today for me, because you did it. See, it's as much a victory for those who voted for me as it is for me. And remember what I promised you, that if you voted for me, the words borders, language, culture would be in the speech? Wait and see if I fulfill my promise to you. That's all I want to ask you. We have a very special guest, a true giant in the industry, and a true lady amongst people who are not like her. She's in a class by herself. She is a very famous author and broadcaster. And we have with you right now on the Savage Nation my good friend Laura Ingram on line 10. Laura, thank you for calling.
Michael, first of all, I have a question for you about the Radio Hall of Fame. I mean, my question is, what took them so long? That's my first question. The second question is, if an illegal immigrant voted for you to get into the Hall of Fame, would that still count as a vote in your...
They better not look at the ballots, because what about if, is there a thing called an illegal radio listener?
Right. Well, I think we have to examine all aspects of the voting.
Well, I know that the rating system in radio doesn't truly reflect the actual listenership. We all know that. Laura, you are in the news, Laura Ingram, because you would be perfect for the job, and you can't say a word about it. I wonder, can you say anything about that?
Well, you know what would be ideal is if you could come to the podium every other day and we could switch off if I ever, you know, were to consider doing that job or if I were ever offered that job formally, then I would just say, okay, Michael, why don't you take the podium today?
Oh, yeah, it'd be very easy for me to do 6 hours a day. I don't do enough in three. I need to do six. Laura, let me ask you something. You can't say another word about it, but let me tell you, you've got the skills of radio, you've got the skills of television, you've got the persona, you've got the looks. You know, and they need somebody like you. They could never do better than you. I really hope that they know that.
That's nice of you to say. I think actually the thing that would probably help me most going back into the administration, because I worked in the Reagan administration, believe it or not, in 87, 88, is my legal background, which I think a lot of people forget. You know, I clerked on the Supreme Court and for the New York, Federal Court of Appeals in Manhattan. So,
I know that, and you also clerked for Clarence Thomas. You're also fluent in Russian.
Yes.
Can you speak to my Russian listeners in Russian and say something? You even do it in their way. I can't wait to have a vodka tonight in your honor.
Oh, давайте пить тусовка водку.
Now stop it! It's a family show, Laura. You can't do that. Laura, stay on the line. I want to talk with you. You're the only one in radio who had the dignity to call me and congratulate me. You know why? Because you're a class act. That's all I can say. I think about it. She didn't get jealous. She didn't get envious. She doesn't have to put me down. Instead, she called to congratulate me. That tells you an awful lot about this lady. I'll be back with Laura Ingraham on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In the radio industry, you have to fight to survive. One man, one way, Michael Savage. Against all odds, Michael Savage survives. Attacked from the left, attacked from the right. An independent conservative. Borders, language, culture. Michael Savage. The Savage Nation. Michael Savage. He did it his way. Undaunted and fearless. Representing the heart of America. Fighting for America's soldiers. Fighting for America's policemen. Exposing the Islamofascists. Fighting the liberal wackos. Speaking out against the excesses of the Republicans. Michael Savage. No man can stop him. Michael Savage going strong.
Very good. Very nice. Well, here we are running into the last half hour of the last hour of the show. Laura Ingraham had to go into hair and makeup at Fox Studios. She called in. She's the only one in radio. Think about this. You'd think that people would call, congratulate. Nothing. She called. I didn't call her. She's a great person. She is exactly how she looks like. She is straight. She is true. She's the real McCoy. So here I sit. You know, the show is coming to an end, and I'm very, very happy right now. Meaning, when I say happy, I don't mean clown happy. I mean the mood is up. I'm buoyant. The word is buoyant. I have a buoyancy right now in my soul. You know, when the microphone goes dead, think of Charlie Chaplin in Limelight. When the limelight goes off, the lights go out. The lights go out, you're alone. No matter who you're with, the lights go out. I virtually live for radio. It's the best 3 hours of a day in my life. For 3 hours, I fly like an eagle. And for 21 hours, I crawl like a human. It's that simple. This is a great, great medium. You have to understand this. This is probably... I remember it was told to me when I began by a very fine program director who is still around. He's a great guy. He said, radio is the greatest high you're ever going to have in your life. We're talking natural high. It's true. This is a high. Anyone who does this, does it right, you get a natural high off it. Now, there are different ways to achieve that. Some people just scream and yell and they hurt themselves. I don't think they're high when they do the radio. I don't think that they get up. I don't think the buoyancy is there. Look, all I know is that here I sit. Tomorrow is the day, November 17th, 2016. I'm inducted into the Hall of Fame. And for better or for worse, you say, oh, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's nothing. You know, I was in the airport about a year ago. I was in the bathroom. It was a private airport. There was a big black guy in the urinal next to me. I mean, I'm just being graphic. Nice guy. Big guy. I mean, this guy was 6'10", or 6'8", whatever. And we got to talk, as men will, in the bathroom. And I said, where are you coming from? He says, I just inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. Came back on a private jet. Some friends or some buddies from the old days in football. He must have been in his 50s, maybe more. And I introduced myself. I said, I'm Michael Savage. And I said, it's interesting you should say it. I've just been nominated for the National Radio Hall of Fame. I didn't know if he even knew me, you know. He said, oh, my God. He washed his hands first, but he shook my hand. He said, oh, that's such a great honor. That's so wonderful. So don't think this doesn't reach across boundaries, whether it's sports, entertainment, radio. People don't want to give you any credit. They're not going to. It's just human nature. People would rather see you fall off the high wire and break your neck than congratulate you for being the great Santini. That's all I can tell you. And there's no bitterness, and this is just a way of life. But you don't do it to antagonize others in the business. You do it to enlighten, entertain, and give buoyancy to your listeners. And that's what I think you're saying to me today, right? And on that note, I will take your calls. There's one open line at 855-407-282. To John on KSFO, line 7. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
John, are you there? Yeah, go ahead. Fire away.
Oh, hey, I just wanted to let you know, I started listening to you probably 10 years ago, and then I quit when you had all this crash and everything, but guys like you tell it like it is. I don't like listening to anybody else, so I just hope when it's time to retire that you have somebody that's going to back you up and keep giving that message out. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know about retire nor about backing me up, but I do appreciate your listenership. It's built by one listener at a time. I got to tell you something about that. That triggers a thought. I remember years ago I was in the vitamin business. I worked for a large vitamin company that was growing. It was a family company. They were good people. They built it from nothing in a garage, and they became very successful, and I was a consultant. The mother of the family, at a national sales meeting, got up. It was a mom, pa, and sons who ran it. She got up, and she said to the whole sales force and the whole, you know, company, she said it with a smile. She had a very nice persona. She said, you've got to promote this product wherever you go. It's not just a 9-to-5 job. You gotta understand this is your life. She said, if I go in a supermarket and I am on a checkout line, she said, I talk about my product. I pick up a bottle and I talk about it to strangers. And I learned something from that, which is that you don't have to worry about reaching the world in every conversation. Just reach one person at a time. And I think that that's something that Donald Trump tapped into. All of the meetings, all of the calls, all of the stadiums. It certainly wasn't one person at a time, but he was going to auditoriums with 5,000, 10,000 people, and he didn't quit. Because he knew it was a personal thing that he was campaigning on, which is to reach the average person, the average Eddie out there, right? WSBA in Pennsylvania, Naomi, line 2, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, first of all, I just want to thank you, but 2 weeks ago, before the election, you had expressed yourself in such a way as to say that no matter what happens, we're going to survive. We're going to be all right. And that was such a poignant moment for myself. I was sitting in my plastic rocking chair in my kitchen, and I just cried. Because I had worked so hard contacting, notifying, writing, doing whatever I could, making phone calls, however I was able to assert myself so that people understood borders, language, and culture. It's very simple. We're talking
How do you feel today now that Donald won? You feel rewarded? You think he's going to do what you want?
I am elated on one hand, and on the other hand, I'm still very strict with him and, contacting him the way that I'm able to by telling him that he must fulfill his promises and he must do this quickly. We have no time because we have more than 10 years of generation that has been misadvised. and it's very unfortunate, and I must congratulate you for your...
Well, I want to thank you for being a loyal voter, a loyal listener, and I hope you're with us tomorrow. I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me if you'll stay on the line.
Oh, I
stay on the line, stay on the line. But I want to say this to everybody. Look, I'm a realist. Did I ever think I was going to get 100% of what Donald promised? Did I ever say to you we'd get 100? Never. I told you all along the way, even if we got 80, then I said 70. As the campaign emerged, I said, even if I got 50% of the dollar on a dollar, I'd be happy compared to Hart. And right now, I'll tell you, if we got 10% of what he promised, finally delivered, signed, sealed, and delivered, it would be 1,000% better than what we would have had with the Prague. The Prague would have destroyed everything remaining in this country that's of any value. So we had a big victory, and we're going to have a big victory. We're never going to get everything we want. Even if he wanted to do it, he's not going to be able to do it with the Congress the way it is. You know, it's like the Chinese food I'm eating right now between breaks. Remember I told you before the break that I know these people who own this Chinese restaurant for 40 years? And no matter what happens, if I get takeout food when it arrives, the bottom of the box is 90% rice, and they put the little bit of food on the top. Here it is. It arrived. At 3 cents worth of chicken, a little black bean, some greasy gravy, and there it is, 80% white rice, which I'll throw in the garbage. Did I not expect it? I like the cabbage. It's peasant food. It's what keeps me alive. Thank God she didn't give me any more protein or fat. Would have cost her 3 cents more. But instead I got cabbage and black beans in a dish that should have had chicken in it. And I'll still eat there because it tastes good. So, you know, I don't expect to get 100% of what I ordered, whether it's in a Chinese restaurant or in the political system. It's that simple. And now I'll say something else that you don't know. During the show, as the show was emerging, pay careful attention to this. Perhaps I shouldn't say it. I emailed my contact at the Donald Trump organization, the lovely individual who was my conduit to getting him on the show. Do you remember when he was on the show and I won the award and I said, Donald, I've just won the National Radio Hall of Fame prize or award. I said, would you be willing to induct me into the Hall of Fame? Do you remember what he said? He was caught off guard. I shouldn't have done it. And he said, I don't know. I don't know where I'll be then. And remember that? We'll pull the tape for tomorrow. Well, I didn't say right now that he's coming on. But I just sent it to her and I said, tomorrow I'm being inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame. The millions of listeners who listened to him on this show and got him over the finish line would love to hear him on this show. That's all I said. I didn't say any more than that. Do I expect him to come on the show in the midst of what he is doing? No. Will he come on the show tomorrow? I don't know. If he does come on the show, it will make me happy. It'll make all of you happy. If he doesn't come on, we're going to have a hell of a time tomorrow, pardon me. Because it is the big day and I have special things planned for you. And I hope you'll be listening, as you are now, right on your local affiliate, on your local station. Well, I got to take a quick commercial break, the people who make the show happen, and then I'll come back to close out this great pre-show for the Hall of Fame Award on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, as the show comes to an end, I hope that you've enjoyed the ride we've been on today. And, of course, it was a ride preparing us for tomorrow in the only way I can do it, which is talk about what's of interest to me. And, of course, this is the pinnacle of my radio career. People say, oh, what's the big deal? And what is the big deal? It's just an industry award. No, it's not like that at all. This is forever. And when you're inducted into an institution that has some great people inducted into it, as I say, Walter Winchell and others, these are people that I grew up looking up to. I know there are people who have been inducted who are, you know, let us say questionable as broadcasters and as human beings, but it's not for me to judge. I'm just thankful that I'm in there because I now have a home for perhaps my archives. I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet. I've had some interchanges with universities and never worked out. They're run, all of them are run by liberals. Every conservative university that I was steered to has librarians who are psychotic leftists. And it always became a bitter experience. I had a congressman from Texas go out of his way to introduce me to a great university in Texas, I thought, a conservative university in Texas, I thought, where I was going to donate my archives. Psychos invaded, like the Catholic Church was invaded. I've never seen anything like this. So anyway, this is a new home for me, a new place amongst my peers, and tomorrow will be, for me, a very special day and a very special show, which I'm going to put together for you with the guys, Robert and Jim, and Doug up in Oregon. And I'm going to invite you to do some homework. All of you who are listening, who voted for me, what is it that you want to hear tomorrow? What would you love to hear? Which people would you hope to God would call into this show and say, Michael Savage, congratulations for a life well lived? I don't mean it's over, but this phase of my life is over. Let's put it to you that way. And we'll see. We'll see who has the interest or the ability to do so. I doubt very much that there are going to be too many calls. That's why when Laura Ingram texted me and said, I'd love to be on your show today, it was right in the middle of hour number two, I immediately had the guy send her the back line. Do you realize what it takes for a person to be that big and that gracious to call into a show where a competitor, in a way, we're not directly opposite each other, but there are people who are not directly opposite me, just as she isn't, as well. She called in because she is what she looks like. She's straight and true. She happens to be, by the way, a devoutly religious woman. I don't know if you know that. And I think that helps her, what she's been through. She has lovely children and all of this and all of that. So I want to thank Laura. She's probably on Fox right now for all I know. She had to leave to do hair and makeup, which always strikes me as funny. It always reminds me of my mother or sister running to do hair and makeup. Everyone's doing hair and makeup. My dog gets hair and makeup on Mondays and Fridays. I don't get hair and makeup done. Could be because I don't have hair and I don't need makeup. I don't know. I do have hair. I went to the barber. Wasn't so good. Today, right after the show, I have a wonderful reward waiting for me 1 hour from now. A dentist. Another dental appointment. Isn't that wonderful? When the microphone goes off and the Klieg lights go off, as I said to you before, you go back to what you are. And in my case, I go back to the dentist. The same tooth. 3 times I went to the same dentist for one object. So I'm going to another one now for a related. I'll see if he could fix this one. Same tooth. So that's it. That's the whole show. Why did you vote for me? What are your greatest Savage memories? How do you think the show has evolved over the years? Do you listen to any other radio shows other than talk radio? Do you think radio has a future? I myself think there will always be a microphone and there will always be a listener. There is no greater form of communication. There is no more intimate form of communication. There is no medium in the world that can move people as does the wonders of the electrons in your soul.
Savage.